Well, tonight I want to deal with something that I feel is of a great importance to the church in the time that we're living in. So tonight I want to minister on bishops, elders, and deacons, and then the ministry. Praise the Lord. I want to read in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Timothy chapter 3, to begin with here tonight. Amen. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop must then be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no sticker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knoweth not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the house of God? Not a novelist, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given too much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacon be the husband of one wife, ruling his children and their own house as well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in faith, which is in Jesus Christ. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Praise the Lord. Well, there's another one in Titus 1. Let's just get this one too. All right. I would like to read verse 5 of Titus chapter 1. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any man be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must then be blameless, the steward of God, not self-will, not anger, not soon anger, not given to wine, no sticker, not given to filth lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperance, holding fast the faithful word, as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially among the circumcised, whose mouth must be stopped. Whosoever whole houses teaching things which they ought not. For Fifth Luke, one of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, the Greek then are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellied. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men, and turn from the truth. And I think we'll stop reading that scripture right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, amen. I believe the same God that inspired St. Paul to pen these words down that we have read is an unchangeable God. And I believe that He is very, very much concerned about His church, especially in this hour. I believe He wants us to be right. Amen. Do you believe that? I believe He wants us to be right. Amen. And the only way that we can be right is to hear what God has to say, find out what God wants for us, and fall into that category. I don't know all the scriptures I will use as we leave this sitting here, but I want to get this first because that's the sticky points. Amen. Get the sticky points first and then let's deal with the other. Praise God, praise God. Well, what we have just read dealt with bishops, elders, and deacons. Amen. Now I want you to just let's take the word for what it says. And let's don't make it say something it didn't say. Amen. But let's take it for what it says and just move out from there. Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's, the word's still good. Amen. Now God set an order to the church, to perfect the church, to bring it into the fullness of all that Christ is. Amen. There is 9 spiritual gifts to the church. They're in Christ, in the body of Christ. And there's 5 ministering offices to minister to the body of Christ, and they are in Christ. Amen. Namely, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And these are given for the perfection of the saints. Amen. Now, these are gifts. These are men. Amen. Well, the man, I made the statement last night that a man, if he's got a gift of God, the Lord foresaw it before the foundation of the world. Right. Amen. He's born with that in him. We got men sitting right here in the congregation that God has dealt with in supernatural ways before conversion, in a ways of leading them into the kingdom of God and bringing them things that would help them to get over some humps and really find their place in God. Amen. Now, let's deal with these words one at a time. First, bishops and deacons and elders. That's strictly what was written about here. Amen. Now, usually we think, when we think of an elder, we think of a ministering office or a minister. Sometimes it's so. Sometimes it isn't. Amen. Because an elder, the church, the Jewish folks have elders, amen, in Israel even before Christ. The elders of Israel, they rule the civil and they had a government that, can someone say that word, the type government they had where it ruled? Say that word loud, Brother Gary, because theocracy type government. It's the elders of Israel. They rule, the church rule, and they had the say in the temporal things as well as the spiritual things. Now, when you go back to the word elders, you go all the way back in Egypt, Pharaoh had elders. An elder simply means, if you want to get it Greek, wherever you want to get it, a senior. Amen. And each church, it seems, as Paul and the different ministers went by to minister the Word of God in the early church, the first thing they do, they preach the Word in a city and some folks get converted. And as they watch the folks that has got converted, and as soon as some get stabilized enough in the Word of God and so forth, they point them elders and so forth to help hold the others, help keep them in line, and help keep them in the faith. And elders were always appointed. There is no calling in the fivefold ministry as an elder. Now, there's folks in the fivefold ministry that was elders. Amen. But there's no calling as an elder. Amen. There is no calling as an elder. There is no calling in the Word of God as a bishop. You look to the word bishop, you find it means superintendent. He seems to be one of the elders that was a little more recognized among the many elders. And each congregation had several elders in the church, and they helped look after the things of the church and so forth like that. And they were always appointed by men. Now, man was not born with a gift of being an elder. That comes when you have proved yourself and walk uprightly and so forth, and then prove yourself worthy in the church. Say, that man there, he's a good man, so forth, and they pray for him, this elder, it's a spillover from the Jewish city. It is a spillover from the way that the Jewish temple, the worship, and the government was run. That it was run by elders. And it is believed that one rabbi says, believe that an elder had to be on the Sanhedrin council, that he had to be at least 30 years old. He had to be a family man, have at least 2 children, and have a good report and so forth to that nature to be an elder on the Sanhedrin council. But they were never called. They were always appointed. Amen. Now, bishop, there is no thing in the Bible, no calling, none of the gifts that is a bishop. And the Bible says, if a man desires the office of a bishop, then let him follow certain rules here. And if a man calls somebody to be something another, then the man has got the right to lay the rules down for him. Now, when we look at elders, there's different times in history that they had different qualifications to be elders. Now, we find 20 and 4 elders in the book of Revelation. They represent the 12 apostles of the Lamb, and they represent the 12 patriarchs of the Old Testament. Now, some of the patriarchs of the Old Testament, they were kind of elders, and they did have more than one wife and so forth like that. They lived in polygamy. And yet they were set up and made elders. And that was in Israel in the Old Testament. But I find no grounds whatsoever where anyone can take Scripture and prove in the New Testament that polygamy is right. Amen. Well, Paul and all the apostles were raised up and they grew up in this environment where elders and so forth control everything. Now, in the temple, they had a high priest. And then they had a lot of other priests under a high priest. Amen. So when the church started, they sort of patterned after those rims in order to rule and keep the church in order. So they got a bishop, which means superintendent of the elders. One of the head elders, you know, and the rest of them was more or less the other elders. Amen. But all of these were appointed. Am I missing something? Praise God. You just feel good. Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay. See, this, you, I can get scared easy on the message like this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, the elder thing. Let's deal, continue just a little more with this. And you're going to be surprised when we get through. Amen. Some of you are going to see truth, and I don't know what some of you will see. Amen. That's up to God. That's not up to me. God's called me to minister the Word of God, to be faithful in the things of the Lord and preach the Word. And then that's out of my hand. Amen. I trust you ministers here. Now, we've got probably, I believe, about 14 years tonight. Amen. I trust you ministers realize quite a bit of weight goes with a message like this. Amen. But, amen, there's a blessing goes with it, too. Amen. Praise God, praise God. Well, as the church started, Paul and them went forth and preached the Word of God. Paul and Barnabas, and wherever they got somebody to believe, you know, and so forth, they said, well, we got to set somebody up here to sort of look after this thing while we're over here in another town. Amen. Let's just read a scripture in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts and show you as Paul and Barnabas went forth to preach the Word of the Lord, how this operates. And then I'm sure it'll help us to understand more in the day that we're living in. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, brother. Amen. That's what I've been needing here. Glory to God. Too bad I don't hear a few over. Amen. Glory to God. Yes, sir. Amen. God, ain't God good? Amen. All right, Paul and Barnabas, they just going on some missionary journey. They preaching the Word of God, getting some converts. And they don't like to lead the converts with nobody in charge because they drift back out and the devil will get them if he can. You know, so they look out and they get somebody and they try to teach somebody and say this is the way that's right and drill the Word of God into their head and into their mind and spirit as much as they can because they got to go on to another town, you know. And then they got to keep coming back and see how the folks are doing.
Right.
Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory. All right. Let's read some here in Acts 14 now. And let's see. I think I'm right here where I want to go. Yes. All right. Acts 14. I think we'll begin verse 20. It says, "Howbeit, as the disciples stood around about, he rose just when Paul was stoned to death nearly for preaching the word. And standing around, he arose and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe." I think I'm right. I'm not going to back up and say I believe this time where he was stoned. Is that right? Somebody, yeah. Okay, good. Thank you. All right, verse 21 says, "And when they had prayed, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and..." Somebody say that word for me. "Iconia and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that they must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God." And that's something we need to learn, isn't it? You young converts, you need to learn that. Through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom of God. There's folks here have gone through a lot of tribulation of their souls. Amen. But God saw your faithfulness and He'll help you enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Just don't get shook up. Amen. When the ship rocks a little bit, don't get excited, see. Amen. The one that's at the helm of this ship have sailed his way and knows how to crest all those white caps. Amen. Just don't get excited, shook up. All right, verse 23. It says, and when they had ordained them elders, plural, in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Right. Amen. When they had appointed them elders in every church. And now when Paul was brought in, when the early church, Peter and them, was brought before the council and before the elders for preaching this name, the elders commanded them, don't you preach in this name anymore. Getting there in Acts 3 and 4 along here. Hey, amen, the elders and the overseers and what, don't you preach in this name anymore because you spread this doctrine throughout Jerusalem and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Those elders held a pretty important place there, didn't they? Well, when it came over in the church, it didn't change overnight. God just began to change an order that was set up in those saints there. Peter and all the rest thought the Lord Jesus was coming back in their day and set up an earthly kingdom. Amen. But St. Paul the Apostle got a revelation. Amen. That there was an age of the mystery of God that had to be fulfilled before Jesus came. Amen. And it says the seventh angel would finish up this mystery. Praise God and put us not in the kingdom of heaven age, but in the kingdom of God again. When the mysteries of God would be finished and cleared up to the saints. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go to Acts 22, chapter 22. And we'll read a scripture here. We will get this, and then I want to get over on fivefold ministry sometimes today. Are you getting the revelation, brother? Thank you. That encouraged me. Now I believe I can go on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Paul is going before the elders and rulers of Israel. And Paul's very much accustomed to this thing of having a lot of elders. And having a high priest. And having all this. He's very accustomed to it because he got letters from the high priest and the elder to go persecute the saints. So he's acquainted with the order. Yes, I got it down. Amen. So don't stumble at my stumbling words. See? Amen. All right. Verse 1 says, men, brethren, and fathers. He addressed them all. And I doubt if there was any ladies among them because he didn't make any mention if it was. Men, brethren, and fathers, I hear ye my defense, which I make unto you. And when they heard that he spake in Hebrew, now this is Paul, after he was taken captive and so forth, he wanted to explain to the elders of Israel and the Jews why that he believed and acted and done what he done. And my defense I want to make unto you tonight, church. Why I have preached, why I have acted, and why I have taught what I have taught in the face of much opposition. Amen. My defense I make unto you. I didn't know I was going to say that, but since it came out right here, why not just bring it up today? Amen. Okay, that don't offend you. Amen. My defense I make unto you. To you, and he says, and when they heard that he spake in Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silent, and he said, I am barely a man which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Caesarea, yet brought up in the city at the feet of Gamaliel, and and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, even as you are this day. And I persecuted this way unto death, binding and delivering in the prison both men and women, and also hop and let me get that word. That ain't an, is it? A yes is as, isn't it? Praise God. Boy, I must be scared of something here. I'm telling you. Man, let me back up here and get this thing right. All right, that's verse 5. As also the high priest does bear me witness and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them which were bound unto Jerusalem for to be punished. Now, I'm not going on with Paul's defense here, but I want to show you who he came before. Men, brethren, father, he came before the elder. Amen. Well, they had it in the Jewish realm, and they had it in the church realm. There's 5 ministering gifts in God. There's 9 gifts for the body in God. Amen. A lot of these other things, they all right, and they good, and they can serve a purpose. Amen. We haven't even touched God's ministry yet. God's ministry is in an entirely different realm from this. Amen. God's ministry is those that were ordained before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Amen. Born to be that. Praise God. Many times the devil tricked them. Many times because of the very calling of God in their life, the devil got them tricked and crossed up and tried to mess their lives up and tried to ruin their lives. Amen. But if God's ordained you and called you, you'll fulfill that calling. Amen. You'll walk before God. Amen. I don't know if we have any bishops here tonight. I don't think we have. You know, if you'll read a little church history, you'll find out as the church left the city, as it's recorded, as John wrote the book of Revelation long about 96 A.D., he wrote to the church there of Ephesus and different one of the churches. Shortly after this time, they finally got this thing refined down a little bit, you know, throughout the years. They finally wound up with 5 bishops. One in Cairo, Egypt. One at Antioch. One in Constantinople. And I believe one in Rome. Well, they had 5 of them. So they're getting this thing narrowed down in pretty good shape. Instead of having one in every church, they had 5 head bishops. Just getting on the about 180 along in there somewhere in the history. So along about 400, they really got it all fixed up, because when the Roman Empire started crumbling, they had a bishop there in the city of Rome, and the old Roman emperor couldn't hold his empire together. So one time he was being invaded there by the what they call the heathens and so forth, and the old Roman emperor, he couldn't do nothing with it. So the bishop of the church stepped in and said, "Look, we're all Christian. Christian must not fight one another." And so the bishop got the little war stopped. So that put him in a pretty important play. Amen, old politics, brother. You set man up in the church, set these offices in the church, and you get that politics going, and that politics of the devil. Amen. Pretty soon they had him a pope. And it went into the dark ages, brother. It left the early church city. These gifts and these callings, they were the fivefold ministry. They had been long lost and lost in obscurity. It wasn't seen anymore. Amen. Until this last day, God is now setting these back in the church to bring it to perfection. Amen. But it was so messed up, we were so off the foundation that we couldn't even find our way back to the foundation. Amen. And God raised up a man, amen, called Brother William Brown, with an Old Testament type spirit on where the Word of God came only to the prophet, where everybody had to shut up and listen to what that one man said. Amen. And he began to say, go back to the Bible, get back in the Word. Amen. Praise God. He began to restore something that we could build on. He began to restore something where God could actually have a ministry. Such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. To perfect the church and to bring the church into the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. And you don't go no further than that. There's victory in Jesus, isn't it? Amen. Now God set certain things in the church. Amen. The original plan of God was always to perfect the church with a fivefold ministry. But as they went forth and preached the gospel and so forth, they didn't have sufficient men that God has called and placed in office. So they did the next best thing. Sometimes we get in trouble when we do the next best thing. Don't wait on God. Amen. See, God gave Abraham and Sarah a promise that they would have a son. Time went by and it looked like it was getting worse and worse and worse all the time. It looked like they would never have one because they... And that all. Amen. We've had been approached about deacons and elders and all these things. Brother, we don't want the next best thing. We want God to speak or we'll all go under. Amen. In Christ Jesus is these offices. And He makes them functional as He raised men up and try them and school them and place them in there and to ordain from the foundation of the world to go forth and preach His Word. Amen. But we've come to the hour, brother and sister. Amen. We're not in a church age message. We've come to an hour when Jesus comes and talks to the church and says, what will you do with this tonight? A message of this type, you cannot come here and sit and hear a message of this type and go out of the church without asking yourself, what am I going to do with what Brother Howard said? You can't do it. Amen. It's not by enticing words of wisdom of men. Amen. Wisdom of men ain't never figured it out. Every time they tried to figure it out, they made a bigger mess every time. Amen, but let the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ, come in the simplicity of what is and it clears up. Amen, let the lights be flipped on by the one that knows how to turn on the light and all darkness leaves. Praise God, and there ain't a subject in the Bible that the darkness won't leave, that the darkness won't dispel. Alright, if St. Paul told Titus that, Titus, I'm going to send you over here in Crete now. So there are some folks over there and they need some elders and they need this. And said, I'm going to send you over here and I want you to appoint some men to these positions that some good men, you know. Not just the everyday run, get some good men. And said, now I'm going to come through here some of these days. When I come through, we'll just get the rest of this set in order. But poor St. Paul never did come through. He got his head cut off. Amen. The church went into dark ages. And we're as close to it tonight as the church has ever been. Amen. Amen. God has sent a messenger and put us back on the Word. And He said, you walk with the Word. Amen. That's what happened in the early church. They accepted the next best thing like Eve in the Garden of Eden. Amen. Adam would have come to Eve at the proper time and the child would have been born. He would have had eternal life. But Eve couldn't wait. Amen. God would have finally set these offices in that early church. And God would have finally perfected this thing. But according to 2 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, Paul said, now I'm a little afraid here. Said, as the serpent beguiled Eve, that you'll be beguiled from the simplicity that's in Christ. Amen. That's exactly what happened. The church fell away. Matthew 13, the parable says this, did we not sow good seed in the field? It shouldn't have never brought forth anything but good. Said, why, what's these tares doing here?
Well, they said, well, said an enemy done this. Well, I'm in slave. Amen. But I'm telling you, God is coming back according to Revelation chapter 10. That angel is Christ as he comes back to the earth. Now, in Christ, there is 9 spiritual gifts for the church. And in Christ, there is 5 ministering offices to perfect the saints. And not one of these is appointed. Amen. Somebody say, we'll vote the pastor in and out, and you'll wind up like that church did. God said in the church. Amen. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and all these. Amen. He sets them in there, and he ordains them, and he qualifies them. Now, here's where we're going to get a little narrow in here a little bit. Amen. We're going to begin to deal in the realm of Jesus Christ and what's in Him. Not what man has appointed. Man set up. Everything man set up, it hit the rocks. It went under. But what Jesus set up is going to go up. Amen. Praise the Lord. It got pretty tight there for a while, but now I'm getting a few smiles and a few amens, and I'm feeling a little better now. Glory to God, I believe I can make it. Amen. I want to show you what's in the body of Christ for us, and then we're going to close, and then let this go. Yeah. All right. Man, don't appoint any of these. Please, please, please don't miss this. Man, do not appoint anybody to receive any of these 9 gifts, and they are lesser gifts than the ministering gifts. And man, don't qualify you to receive any of them. God set in the church. God set in the church. Man dare not touch the things of God. When they built an altar in the Old Testament, they even touched the altar with a man-made tool. God rejects the whole altar and would not accept the sacrifice. It had to be original stones created by Almighty God that have not been touched by the hand of man. And as God set the church in order again for this last day move, for the rapture of the church, God rejects everything man put his hand to. And God comes and talks to the church and set in the church those that please Him. Amen. And He's going to take her out of here in the rapture. Ephesians chapter 5 says we are married to Him. One with Him. Amen. Truth is prevailing. The Word grows, multiplies, and prevails. Amen. Praise God. I want to get some in Ephesians 4, and then I've got to... All right, let's go to Ephesians 4. Paul's speaking here now. It says that... I won't get to verse 1. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering. Here's some of the qualifications. Here's some of the things. If you call and got these gifts, let's please the Lord and walk like this. For bearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, even as you're called and one hope that you're calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God, the Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. According to the gift of Christ. And again, let me, at the risk of sounding repetitious, say this again. There's no gift as being a bishop. There's no gift as being a deacon. There's no gift as being an elder. Those are strictly appointed of men to look after things that way, and the qualification has changed from time to time and so forth, from church to church, from denomination to denomination. But this don't change. It's eternal in God. It's the Word. Wherefore he said, when he ascended on high, he led captive a captive and gave gifts unto men. These ministering gifts, these not for the women now, not for the sisters. Now he that ascended, what is it, but that he also descended first in the lower parts of the earth, that he that descended is the same that ascended far above all heaven, they might fill all things. Now watch what he gave now, not man. Man can't touch this. Man can't get within a million miles of this. You don't have to be ordained of God to be a deacon, to be an elder, to be a bishop. But those things are for past generations. Unless there's a special need and the church wants to appoint certain ones and so forth. Amen. That's up to the church, up to the pastor. But this is not up to any man. Jesus does this apart from man's thinking, apart from the ways of man. It's God. Amen. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors, and some teachers. Now here's what he gave for. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. This brings us to that now. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Some folks still are, but they're going to quit doing it because God's doing this right here now. Amen. Carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. And a lot of folks would like to do it that way today. But Jesus loves you and he comes and says, don't do it. This is the way. Walk in. Oh, praise God. You believe it does? He is walking in the ways of the Lord. But speaking the truth in love. And that's what we're doing. Hurts the flesh sometimes. Speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him. Not in your church, not in your organization. You don't grow in favor among the preachers of your little cliques. You grow up into Him. When you speak the truth in love. Amen. But speaking the truth in love, grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ. And he's the head. He's the one that does it. He sets in the church. And it's his business who he sets in the church. And let's leave it that way. From whom the whole body fitly framed, fitly joined together, groweth and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase into the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. You might say, Brother Howard, are you saying that a man can preach if he has been married before? I did not say a man could. And I did not say a man couldn't. I said, God sets in the church whom He will, and He qualifies them. Amen. And that's one qualification, to walk worthy of the calling wherewith you call. If it was in you from the foundation of the world, and you were born with that gift, then go and obey God. Amen. Hear this? God bless you. This is my prayer service tomorrow at 11.
Ago, and I spoke my word, and it was shown. Yet in this hour I have declared it again, and ye who refuse my call, I shall cut you off, saith the Lord.
Amen. Brother Bob, was you wanting to say something, sir? Would you just come on up here, please?
I'd like to say something before you close.
All right.
That is this, that truly, there's been an answer to a question that's been on my heart, and Brother Frank can witness to this because I spoke to him just maybe a week or so ago about something that Brother Ben ministered on tonight. And a little while ago, I said something that I said I wasn't, didn't feel bad that Brother Ben had to speak. I do feel bad that people have to go through struggles and trials But I'm not at all sorry that God has set an office in the church to break the Word of God. I'm not at all sorry. Because without that office, there's a lot of things that I wouldn't have the answer to today that I definitely need. Because my heart is very troubled at times, too. And as I told Brother Ben this afternoon, it was a confirmation he said to him to go ahead and speak tonight. That up until about, I guess, maybe 3:30 last night, after I got off work, I went home and I was very troubled in my spirit. And I tried to go to sleep and I couldn't. And as I lay there in the bed for maybe 2 or 3 hours, and I got up and I just couldn't rest, and I began to talk to God, and God kept pressing something on my mind, and I knew it had to do with the ministry. With the ministry. And He kept impressing that, and I told Brother Frank about that today on the way over here. Now, I didn't know what Brother Ben, how God had dealt with Brother Ben about this, but Brother Frank can be a witness to both these statements that I made, that I talked to him about certain things here just recently, and about that I spoke to him just today, that God had impressed on me something very troubling in my spirit that needed to be dealt with in the ministry, among the ministry or for the ministry. So I believe with all of my heart this is the will of God, and I believe that we're seeing the fulfilling, praise God, of Christ coming into the earth and speaking to His people. I believe that with all of my heart. And I have to say that I love this because I believe it's the Word of God. And I believe that it's the will of God. And I believe that we need to stand behind the man of God, praise God, with prayer, with supplication before God, and hold up Brother Ben because he's under a great strain, he's under a great load. Pray for him. Because he needs it. I'm not saying that just because Brother Ben is someone that I love or because I know it's the truth. Every man of God needs your prayer and your supplication. He needs your support. And while I was sitting there just a little bit ago, there was one scripture that came to my heart, and I like to say this. Jesus said, if you love not your brother whom you have seen, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Brother Ben.
I know you're probably tired, but I just got a little something on my heart. You can be seated. Let me say this, and then we'll dismiss. Brother Howard, he's been so good and so kind to me. I tell you, he treats you with royalty. Now, I've known him many years, and he's always treated me so good. It's just hard to turn him down when he keeps pressing. I never do want to do anything unless I feel a certain urge from the Lord to do it. And he's been after me, Brother Cleveland, just say something tomorrow, say something, give your testimony, just whatever you want to do. You got the liberty, you got the freedom. And I kept saying, no, I just don't feel anything. I just don't, it's just not there. And I'd just rather wait. Well, tonight I got that certain urge, you know. I felt something move from the inside. And the Lord says, now, this service is not over. Tomorrow you'll continue what's been said here tonight. Now, I appreciate what Brother Ben said. And there's not a soul in here that can say that that's not biblical. It's absolutely the Bible. It was simple. A simple truth, yet you never hear it preached. You never heard it explained in that manner. But it's absolutely the truth. Whether we want to receive it or not, you cannot say that it's not scriptural. Now, the Lord has been good to me. He's worked in my life. I'm just a young man when I didn't even know Him. And I just like tomorrow, just to give a testimony of my life to show you that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He doesn't give you anything and then take it back. God's not an Indian giver. If He ever puts a gift in your life, it's there until the day you die. And I've never heard of a minister of the gospel that said he was called to preach. I mean, God called and he's retired. There is no such thing. God don't put a gift, He don't put a calling there and then take it back. Now that's the way it is. And it's so is it with the spiritual gifts. However God has placed it in your life, that's the way it is.
You really have nothing to do with it. He does it. All you got to do is submit yourself. And then he'll do the rest. So that's why I like to wait. And I could see something, you know, as Brother Howard is speaking, it was just unfolding in my heart. This tomorrow, I'd just like to give a little testimony of how God has dealt with me. And to let you know that these things are from the Lord and man has nothing to do with it. Absolutely. Now, you might rebel, but he has a way of bringing you around. God in his love, in his grace, and in his mercy. Now, I want to say this. When I first came to this church, I had never met that man. Brother Billy Andrews was coming over here for a meeting, and he had just finished out a meeting there in Anderson, and he invited us over. He told us that Brother Howard had just come off of a 40-day fast. Now, I didn't know what the fast was about. I didn't know anything. But I decided to come over. And I'd never been in this church before. I'd never met Brother Howard. I knew nothing, absolutely nothing. And that night, Brother Bill Andrews asked me to come up here and sit on this pew. Now, there was a man sitting over here on the right, Brother Lee Garland, and there was a lady sitting over here on the left. Now, just before the service started, how many of you were here? Was anybody there here that night?
Yeah, just showed back in the back room.
Yes, there were some people here. Now, I take it from these people. They saw it. I didn't see it. There was a light came in this window back here. Just a halo of light. And it came right in and it hovered over my head. I didn't know anything about it. But when the Holy Spirit struck me, I stood up. And when I stood up, Lee Garland told me that my head was in this halo of light. And I spoke a word of prophecy. And Brother Ben, I think, has it written down somewhere. Exactly what was said. I can't remember it. But that was a word from the Lord that night. And it amazed me tonight when that Spirit struck me again. Now, I feel like there was a warning. A warning. Somebody that might be reluctant to receive the ministry that God has placed here can be cut off. It's a dangerous thing. Now, if you've got any doubts about it, you go before the Lord and let Him straighten you out. That's the best advice I can give you. I can't tell you what to do, but He can. So you all pray for me as I endeavor tomorrow, if it's permissible with everybody, and I believe it is, to just give a word of testimony how the Lord has dealt with me. Pray for me.
Since the Lord gave you another word tonight, would you relate to the best of your knowledge what you said that night? Just to, you don't have to get word for word, just the general.
It's just been so long, I can't remember it. But the best of my knowledge, God said He had raised up this place, that He had ordained it, that me would come here and would receive an answer to their prayers.
Yes.
An answer that they were seeking in their heart. That He had raised this place up. That He had ordained this place. And made it what it was. And Brother Ben might have thought before that, that he had done something. But the Lord said He had done it. So you see, where does the glory go? We're just instruments in His hands. Now Brother Ben had three questions while he was in his fasting and praying. And the Lord spoke to him just before he'd finished his 40-day fast and told him that he would receive an answer. Now, I knew nothing about that. And one of the requests that he had was about this place. Should he shut the door, sell the church, close out, and leave? He was willing and he was ready to do that. I knew nothing about that. But when that prophecy came, that was an answer that God had promised him that he would give. That was an answer to his 40-day fast. Now, that's the way God began to move. And I knew nothing about it. You see, now, how can a man, I don't care who the man is, how can he say, I did so-and-so? You did nothing. God did it. When God does it, it's done well. And if we'll put the honor where it belongs, we'll quit saying, old brother so-and-so said so-and-so. If you recognize where it comes from, then you say, the Lord has said thus and so. May the Lord bless you.
Thank God, just in the whole arrangement. Amen. Brother Speakman, you haven't said anything in the meetings. Amen. Would you like to come testify? Just greet the folks and so.
Well, it's good to be here. Well, I appreciate the Lord. Think about what a great thing the Lord has done. It's really good to that. No one can think about how great God is. My time is I just can't help but weep and think about serving such a great God.
Amen.
I thought about how God is always, as Brother said, in our lives, how we saw it, how God was so concerned. How a lot of times we seem like we just get to a place, you know, which way to go or which way to turn. Or even these times when I've encountered my walk with God, times that comes with problems that plays the punishment. Brother, it just blessed my heart. It looked like the mentions a lot of brothers, and it looked like we were just trapped. It looked like we just something that we couldn't explain, and people wanted to know, people needed to know, but we just could not grasp it. And I thought about how great God was. See, the minister got pressed in that office, brought it, and showed us the very thing and put it in place that we didn't see by divine revelation, you see. So that made me appreciate God so much, because educational men could not do that. They tied. They got it every which way to be thought of. But when God's time, God got ready to control the rider, when they got interested in pursuing God, God moved in an office to bring it to where we can say, praise the Lord, this is it. And God set us free. And I'm glad. I'm glad that in the meeting we enjoyed the fellowship with the people and the great things of God. So just pray for them when you pray.
Amen. Amen. Appreciate Brother Speakman. Praise God. It's just been the hand of the Lord, the whole thing. Amen. Yesterday, Brother Cleveland saw a vision fulfilled over at the park that he had some years ago. Amen. Praise God, just to been the hand of God.
Brother Ben, let me just tell that. I don't know where all these people are.
Okay, come up here. Would you come to the mic, please? Amen.
I hate to hold you people up. I know you got a long trip home. But you know, may never get this opportunity again. I thought about coming up there with Brother Ben. I said, well, I may never get to go. And I just want to give him a testimony, you know, if it can be a blessing. That's the whole purpose. Now, while I was talking, I said, well, maybe nobody will appreciate it. But when this brother came and... You see, like Brother Francis told me last night, he said, it's strange, but you and this brother have a life that's so much alike. How God deals with him is the way he deals with you. Well, let me tell you something. Agabus was a prophet. He wasn't an Old Testament type prophet. He wasn't a word type prophet. But he was a seer. He was a man that got a revelation from God, and whatever he said that the Lord said, that's the way it would be. And sometimes I wonder if we don't neglect the gift that's with us, that's working among us. And that's not putting flowers on anybody except the Lord. If the Lord ordained it to be thus, that's the way it'll be. Man has nothing to do with it. But now this dream that I had, it was fulfilled yesterday, and it was made so real to me. Now, I can't remember it in detail. How many years ago has that been, Brother Ben? I wish I had it so I could read it. It's been quite a while ago. But yesterday, while we were standing up there at the park, the thing was fulfilled. You see, I was coming down the highway, and I saw all these people along the sides of the road. That was you. You were the people. And these people... were looking for something. And I was inquisitive and I pulled my car over and stopped. I wanted to know what you were looking for, because you were down on your knees and you were searching through the sands on the side of the road looking for something. Now that's what these meetings are all about. You're looking for something, you see. And I asked the man, I said, what are they looking for? They said, they're looking for diamonds. They're all along the road here. And people on both sides. See, you're looking for the diamonds. These things that God has for His people. And they were small diamonds. Hallelujah. And you know, I said, well, I want to look too. So here I am. I'm over here looking too, you see. So I got out on my hands and knees and I began to look. And there was a man walked up behind me. Now let me tell you something. I don't want to put flowers where they don't belong. I could tell you something how the Lord dealt with me. And I said a man, you see, I always be careful about, but this man, see, he's been to me before. I don't ever see him. I never see his face. But he talks to me. Well, in this dream that I had about the diamonds here on the road, that was the same man. See, it was the same voice. And he spoke to me, and he touched me on the shoulder, and I turned to look, but when I turned to look at him, I saw this great mountain. You know how we were standing there in the road, and I said, that great mountain up there, right before us up the highway? Some of you that are standing there, that's what I saw in the dream. And he said, you see up there, there's large diamonds. But nobody ever goes up there. Serpents. See, Satan. In order to get up there where the large ones are, you'll come against Satan in a manner that you've never come against him before. But all in all, the vision, see, the place was there. The people were there. I was there. And the mountain was there. You were there. You were the people. You fulfilled the vision yesterday. Praise the Lord.
Now this one yesterday, this one, that we were finding treasures, but there's greater things ahead.
Amen.
How many sees it?
Amen.
Amen. But it also means there's going to be some difficulties.
Yes, Satan will be there.
Amen. It means there are some serpents to bite at us as we go into the deeper things of God.
Amen.
And find the greater treasures, amen, that the Lord has for us. But I think we're more than conquerors. I don't want us to be like the ten was that came across and said, sure, there's a promised land. Sure, there's grapes over there. Sure, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But said the wild, we look like grasshoppers in the eyes of those Amalekites or whatever they are over there. Said, we can't take the land. Amen. But I want to see a people like Joshua and Caleb with a different type of spirit. Said, I'm not worried about the giants. I'm not worried about the opposition. The Word says take the land. And we're more than able. Can you say amen today? Amen. See, God, He ordains things. And Satan sometimes get people's lives messed up. Try to ruin that gift. Amen. What God did here in eternity. The only eternity will tell.
Jesus now. All right, Brother Francis, you come on before I get turned loose again here. Amen. I'm in a slow down gear.
I had to obey the Lord. I've tried to hide away today. My heart's been heavy. My spirit, but I don't even know why. Somewhat, maybe, but not 100%. And ever since I sat here tonight, the first of service, and listened to Sister Donna sing that song, the Spirit of the Lord just began to just feel heavy in my heart. And I thought, Lord, when were your people? We got them all over the world. We got them in West Virginia, Brother Lippert. That don't put no value on this precious revelation that God's come. If God set a fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, all the glory that you'll ever behold will be in that fivefold ministry that produce a body of Christ that He can come and say, I'm well pleased with it. The Lord bless you, Brother Howe.
I don't know if I can sing or not.
I don't even do this at home. And I'm sure the Lord has got a purpose in everything. You know, I would pray to God if I had to desire my heart, brothers, even when I go back home. Every time I got up there and opened the Word, I could feel like I feel here tonight in Georgia. Amen. I believe it would almost make them that despise me be convinced that there's something to this thing. Somebody has to stand up there and face all opposition, Brother Loggins. Now, if he hadn't called you to stand in that position, give your respect. Rest your soul on that God has sent, because it's real. If I knew God being my helper, if I knew that I'd face death before I got back home, wouldn't bother me all that much, because I know that I've applied myself to the Word of God. Not knowing what I said before I ever left for Canada, I said, Brother Ben, when I get back home, I'm going to be a new man. I'm going to be a better pastor. Oh, Lord, you just help me tonight. God, I take an oath to you if I should do such a thing, that this is not my nature to react this way. But the Spirit of the Lord, if He can just speak to whoever's needed here tonight, then I'll be satisfied. Give me the key of thee. Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, this has been strange to me tonight. You gave your best. Now, Lord, I ask you for every soul that's represented right here tonight, that the Holy Spirit of the living God would touch them right now. Lord, may they see that this faith that is preached by a fivefold ministry, and Lord, I don't even know who make up the fivefold ministry, but I can see, Lord, that you have apostles. Lord, I see that there is, in my own knowledge, Lord, I can see that there is one that deals with the things of the Word of God that many men would be interested in. Even in our midst here tonight, there is one, Lord, that hasn't sought your glory. The Lord has stood alone like a reed in the wind, but has stood the test. Oh God, there'll be some here tonight that see what I see. Let them know that the storm's coming. Let them know, Lord, that they've got to be tied to something. Lord, they've got to tie their experience to a revelation. Lord, I know of no man that's brought things like Brother Howard has brought. Lord, I'm not speaking this because I'm not seeking his praise, but it's the truth. I speak the truth, Lord, and you know it be the truth. So if there are others here tonight among, these folks are so precious. But Lord, if they've caught a glimpse of something tonight, if they see the glory of this message, Lord, then they have to see that the glory is fading from that precious messenger that you moved off a few years ago. Lord, he told the people to get back to the Word. There was coming something great from God, a spoken Word. The Lord, many of His people that followed Him failed to see it. Oh, Lord, who will rescue the precious souls if there be not a ministry that can shine the light for them? They've been warned, Lord. They've been rebuked by the Word. And there's someone tonight standing on the mountain that can shine the light. And Lord, as John the Revelator said in chapter 10 of verse 1, mighty angel came down clothed in a cloud. Many see the cloud. But thank God, when the clouds have rolled away, we see Jesus Christ speaking to the church. Lord, as I try to sing this song, may it have a place in somebody's heart to help them see what I see. Lord, to help them learn what I've learned in the last week. Oh, Lord, if they could just have seen what I've seen with my own eyes. Lord, I couldn't have done it. I couldn't have stood. God, you've got men that's obtained this precious faith through much battle, ridicule. Oh, God, I don't put glory on men, but I put glory on the office you're speaking through. I magnify that there's someone that will stand there, Lord, and point us and show us how to turn the corner. Lord, I've just about said my part as I sang this song. Lord, if you still speak to someone, to God be the glory. In Christ's name, amen. Let's just keep our heads bowed for a minute, if you will.
There's a place I go to be alone with Jesus. When my burden seems so heavy to bear, oh, what strength I find in my triumph, and what victory in the time of despair. Surely goodness and mercy are mine, with Him on His word I firmly now stand. And though I walk through a valley with a heavy burden, I can feel the touch of precious hand. And now my cup runneth over, my strength has been renewed. Though it seemed like total darkness for me, Thy rod and Thy staff gives me comfort. At the end I know Thy victory for me. Surely goodness and mercy are mine, with Him on His word I firmly now stand. Although I've walked through the valley with a heavy burden, I now feel the touch of His hand.
Before I sing the chorus again, to every one of you that are precious in His sight, and you are, each one, to what revelation you have tonight, you've obtained that at the mercy of God. But now that you've come this far and mercy seems to be running out, especially for those that won't move with God, I'm going to ask you tonight in Jesus' name to please place that revelation and listen to the Word. Listen to the voice of God as He speaks, because that's how God's going to move you from revelation to revelation. We're to soon see the glory of the Lord come into His temple. Amen.
Surely goodness